Hi, this is Patrick Finley at the Chicago Sun-Times. He's Jason Leisure, and he's Mark Potash, who's trying to have a conversation about how misty it is here at Gillette Stadium in Hallis Intrigue. Coming up, we will talk about the most surprising Bears win in what, 5 years? A 33-14 defeat of the Patriots. We'll talk about how Justin Fields looked the same and also looked different, and how the Bears' defense helped him out. All of that and much, much more on Hallis Intrigue. Boys, none of us saw this coming. 33-14 was never particularly close. The Bears trailed, I guess, for a couple of minutes in the first half and then pulled away. Jason, as best you can describe it, what in the heck just happened?
Patrick, they played a game that you and I were talking in between post-game press conferences. They played a game tonight in New England that I don't know if we've seen. A thorough, complete, decisive win against a decent team. New England's 3-4 now, so are the Bears. But New England came into this game with a top 10 defense. They still had a lot going for them. The Bears are on the road in primetime. Like, this is not whooping up on last year's Giants or the Texans or something like that with the Jaguars. This was a really, really impressive win by the Bears that was almost, I mean, other than a few minutes in the second quarter, it was never in doubt. They had total control of this game.
Potsy, what was the most impressive part to you?
Well, two things that I was particularly impressed with. First of all, Justin Fields, they didn't need Justin Fields to have, like, an awesome game. But he still played well. It wasn't like they won in spite of him. His passer rating was 85.2, but he was efficient even as a passer. It was a really good, efficient performance by him. I think that's significant that they didn't need him to play the game of his life, but still play well, and they won. The other thing I thought was, and this is you might think a minor significance, but I've been here enough to know how these things work, and that the Patriots got a big boost when they put in Bailey Zappe in the second quarter. I think it was first or second quarter, whatever. And
started the second.
In the course of this game, in the context of the way this game, it seems like nothing. But I've seen that kind of wave just totally overwhelm Bears teams before. And they fought back. They fought back from it. I think they were down. And then they came back. I can't remember how they scored the touchdown and the field goal at the end. And they withstood that. And I think that shows a lot. So those are off the top of my head. Those are the two... two most impressive things, and I think those are both things that I think can help them out long term. I think this could be a win that actually they could actually build on, as opposed to other times where they've fallen flat the following week.
With 2 minutes to play in the first half, the Bears were down 14-10. Justin Fields hung in and threw a 25-yard screen pass to Khalil Herbert up the left sideline. Fields got sandwiched between two guys, made the throw anyway. Fields scampered for a touchdown, and then as the half expired, Cairo Santos kicked a 23-yard field goal. That's 10 points right there at the end of the second quarter.
Yeah, and that took care of the Zappe.
Yeah, and the Fields to me looked, you mentioned that he wasn't spectacular, and he wasn't, but I think in the context of the offense they asked him to run, he was good.
Well, that's my point. He was good without putting up monster numbers. Yeah. He didn't have to throw for 300 yards.
But was? I mean, there's a little Cam Newton to him tonight in a way that I don't think we had seen.
Good Cam Newton.
Yeah, good in a way I don't think that we had seen earlier in the season. 14 carries for 82 yards. A lot of those were planned runs. A lot of those worked in that they gained yards, but they also, protected him. It's one thing to run for his life when he's dropping back to pass. I think when he has run blockers in front of him and when they're sending him toward a sideline, which they did a lot of the time when he was on running designed runs, that helped protect him. He was a weapon. When you add him, Khalil Herbert, David Montgomery, 45 carries for 243, 5.4 yards a pop. Potsy, that's a really good rushing attack.
And, Pat, I don't know if this is the way it actually worked out, but on paper or just watching it, it looked like the Bears threw something at a really good opponent that they weren't ready for. I think it's a good sign for the coaching staff. I think if indeed that's what it was. But it sure seemed like the Patriots were a good defense who are well-coached by a great coach were not ready for what the Bears threw at them. And I think, again, that's another thing that is an indicator of something that could be more than just one win, something you could build off.
Yeah, Jason, you made a good point of this in your story and also in, asking, Matt Eberflus, now how do we carry this thing over? And I don't want to gloss past this win, quite yet, but, we've seen these things before that lead us to think, Justin Fields is about to take off. Is there anything you saw tonight that would lead you to think it's real this time?
Well, I think there's two ways that you want to look at every game. You want to look at it just singularly on its own. And if this was the only game the Bears won this season, if they went 1-16, you'd still sit here and say, this was a really, really good performance. Right. They beat New England in all three facets of the game. Mm-hmm. Justin Fields made this point. This is something that gets kind of lost in the shuffle when you have a game like this, is their starting field position was great
right.
all night. They had some really good special teams play. New England, first series of the game where they go 3-and-out. They're starting at their own 17. Just little plays on special teams that made a big difference. Defensive takeaways, things like that. But then you also look, Pat, as what does this mean big picture? Mm-hmm. And I think you guys are on it with Justin Fields because he is the big picture. Quarterback is the big picture. So it's either him or TBD draft pick that replaces him. And that was part of what we talked to Ryan Poles about before the game today. And this looks to me like a template that can work for Justin Fields. You need a little bit more of everything, but this is a good base. This is like your starter for your sourdough here, where because you say it's not monster numbers, and it isn't, but you have to always add in his rushing total to what his impact on the game. So now you're looking at a guy that has 260 total yards of offense, mm-hmm. and two touchdowns, one throwing, one rushing. That is very much in the direction of what you want from Justin Fields. And he was consistent. The offense kept moving. They settled for a lot of field goals. Mm-hmm. Four, maybe? Was it four or five field goals? There was a lot of field goals. But they kept going down and they kept scoring. And there were a couple times. There was one in the first half where they were kind of, I think, late, very end of the first half, they were kind of getting pushed back out of field goal range and got back.
Right.
They got back to like the 5-yard line, kicked an easy field goal, got the points.
Fields threw on 3rd and 16. He threw a 17-yard completion to Darnell Mooney at the stick. When you and I were sitting there going, they're going to run and kick a long field goal. Instead, they threw and kicked a short field goal.
But again, this doesn't matter in the big picture if we're not seeing this consistently.
Right.
If right around the corner is another game like he had against the Commanders, because we just did this.
Right.
We just did this 2 weeks ago. He played really well against the Vikings. It looked in every way like what you want from him. It looked like a step forward. And then boom, like can't right. deal with the pass rush, can't deal with the offensive line's flaws, and that's going to keep being a thing he has to deal with. You don't get to have everything be perfect if you're him. So now there has to be this step forward, because any quarterback can play one really good game. Anybody can. Bailey Zappi's done it the last two games. It's like to be Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or even Justin Herbert, it's you do it every week.
Yeah, and I don't know the next time this season that the Bears will have the best quarterback on the field. I mean, one of the things you saw from the Patriots tonight is if your quarterback play is bad, you got to be really good in other facets to overcome it, and they absolutely couldn't.
We did all this fretting over Mac Jones or Bailey Zappi. Mac Jones starts. It's like this big deal, and this might have been his last game, his last as a starter. His last throw as an NFL starter might be that one that Jaquan Brisker swooped in and grabbed with one hand.
And I asked Matt Eberflus, did you expect to see two quarterbacks? He goes, uh-huh. You know, we thought they'd have a package for Zappi. I don't know whether I believe that. Sounds good. But, you know, Mac Jones gets pulled after going 3-for-6 with an interception. That opens the door for Zappi to come in 14-22 for 185. One touchdown, two picks, passer rating of 67. That looks a lot like some of the passer ratings we've seen.
Mac Jones was 3-for-6 for 13 yards. That's hard to do.
That's hard to do. Potsy, the thing that struck me is something that we can put our arms around it. Tonight is, I think this speaks well to the coaching staff. They took 10 days, identified what needed fixing, and at least did a good enough job on it that they won a game. And you know we can point to the play design, with the a lot more bootlegs, a lot more moving pockets, a lot more Justin Fields planned runs from Luke Getsy. I think that was encouraging. But man, you know let's look at what Alan Williams did as well. This is a team that, what they hang on the Lions, 37, 8 days ago?
Yeah, this, I think it is a good sign for the coaching staff, but I mean, that's, you got to be careful about that, because they did it, this is, sometimes you're good when you have 10 days between games, and then, you got six.
Right.
And maybe it doesn't work out. I mean, they were bad on, they were so bad on short rest, and they were so good on long rest, they got to find, see how they are in a regular week.
I don't think the defense was bad on short rest. They gave up 12 points to the Commanders.
Well, Well, the Bears
oh,
as
no.
a team.
I was asking you specifically about the defense. It seems like both the offense and defensive coordinators figured some stuff out during this time off. And to me, that's reassuring, and it leads me to think that Matt Eberflus, who's never been a head coach at any level, might be able to make the in-season adjustments that so many head coaches have been unable
to. I agree, and I think we've seen, even in bad times, that this is a good coaching staff. I mean, these guys, they're not rookies. Even Matt Eberflus is a head coach. I don't get the impression he's a rookie doing this. He's one of the better game management guys so far. You look around the league, even some of the veteran coaches get hammered for game management, and he's actually been pretty good. So my point is, this coaching staff, I think, has looked very competent even in bad times. And I think this is the long rest window, I think, has kind of magnified that. You just don't know if that means, okay, now they finally figured it out. Now they can do it in a regular week, or maybe they're like a team that's only good after the bye. I guess I'm just saying, we have to wait and see. But obviously, a great sign to win here and win in these circumstances.
And what you guys are talking about, the discussion you're having about Matt Eberflus, and you could apply this to Justin Fields, Luke Getsy, the draft class from this year, Ryan Poles. This is not likely to be a great Bears season, but you are looking for evidence that it is headed the right way. The expectations on the Bears this year are not that they contend in any way, not even that they make the playoffs, Pat, not even that they have a winning record.
Right.
That is not the expectation. That's not where the bar is. The expectation is, show us that you have the capability to get there and that you are moving it in that direction. So a night like tonight in New England, you see evidence that Matt Eberflus, Justin Fields, Luke Getsy, Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon, you see evidence of those guys being pieces that are moving in the right direction, being people that you want in place as you go forward to try to make this team an actual winner.
Yeah, you mentioned the two draft picks. Each had an interception. Brisker's was amazing. And like you said, might have ended Mac Jones' starting career.
It might be the best interception. It might be the most impressive athletically an interception that anybody has had this season.
For the Bears?
Mac Jones
in the league.
Jaquan Brisker's career.
Well, Mac Jones had a cleat go in his gentleman's region and knocked him out for a second.
The circumstances really made it impressive, that he came off. How many plays was that when he got back on the field?
Three.
It was pretty quick, right?
Well, I don't know how quickly he was back on the field, but it was, he missed at least one play, Jaquan Brisker, after taking a cleat to the groin. And it was three plays later that he picked off.
Okay, I thought that was a great response. So
And then Kyler Gordon got one off of a tip late in the game. And, I asked Matt Eberflus just the idea of actually doing it. What does doing it mean for their confidence going forward? And he said, it helps. I mean, sure as hell doesn't hurt. And especially for Gordon, he's been playing better in recent weeks, Jason, but I think having real tangible production can probably go a long way.
Pat, if for some reason the Bears called you up and you were playing safety and you had that interception, and then you come back, change clothes, put on your dapper blazer and whatever else.
Right. How's my groin? Is my first.
Now that didn't happen. Well, that happened too. All right. Either one. How many texts would you have on your phone?
140.
Jaquan Brisker doesn't know the answer to that right now because he left his phone in Chicago. He got on the plane without his phone. He had not seen any video of the interception. He had not heard from anyone because they're all texting a phone that is sitting back in his condo or wherever he lives in Chicago. And he was very entertained to watch for the first time the video of him getting that interception.
I'm impressed that a 22 or 23 year old person exists who can function without his phone.
How did he make it the last 24 hours?
If I were a millionaire on the road without my phone, do you know what I'd do? I'd buy a new phone.
I'd buy three.
I'd sneak out after dinner and go get a phone. Potsy, I want you to get your game balls ready, but before we get to them, I do want to talk about Ryan Poles, the Bears general manager, spoke here in the press box a couple hours before the game. It was the first time he'd talked since, I believe, September 1st of this season, and the first time once games started that we've been able to press him about the most important issues that the Bears have coming. Jason, obviously the main topic was Justin Fields and how he perceives him, whether he thinks he gave him enough help, and whether he regrets not doing so. What did you take away? To me, maybe the best question I heard was, Jason, your question about, okay, are we measuring Fields, for the rest of the year, for the next 2 years, for week by week? And he essentially wouldn't give you an answer, which I think is telling. Which the answer is probably play by play, I would think.
I think my number one takeaway from Ryan Poles, and you have to look at it in the context of what happened 3 hours later, is he had all the answers. He defended everything that he'd done. He said, I have conviction in our moves in the offseason when asked about offensive line and wide receiver. And then he gets a game where it all looks like it all looks right. Right. He gets it was very, very good timing for him, it turned out, because he defends Pat, he defends Matt Eberflus, he defends Justin Fields, he defends Luke Getsy, he defends the offensive line, he defends the wide receivers, he defends, I think, the draft class. And guess what? It all looks great on national TV 3 hours later. Very, very good timing for him. I'm not ready to say, okay, well, you know, you got me. You've proven us wrong. Like, you still have to see a lot of what happens here. And now the offensive line takes another hit with Lucas Patrick. That could be a long-term injury, him leaving with a toe injury. But I think that's my number one takeaway is Ryan Poles had all these defenses, and then you get something that now that you can argue with him on. Then you get proof that you can't argue in the game.
And Potsy, we haven't had one of these scrums on the road since Phil Emery. So what's that? 8-9 years. You wondered when he talked before whether he was in defense mode because they wondered whether today would go poorly. And I thought he stated his case plainly and simply and without any sort of melodrama to it.
Yeah.
But like Jason said, I mean, the best evidence he has is the fact that, you know, they came out and didn't embarrass themselves.
Yeah, this was, it was somewhat impromptu, but it was still coordinated in that this is a really good, comfortable setting. That was a really good, comfortable setting for Ryan Poles. He's much more comfortable with the smaller group. You know, it's on the road, smaller group. And I thought he explained everything as well as he could. He didn't give very many details. But what I took out of it was the disparity between how many of us look at it in the short term and the kind of the micro view and his long term. He insisted and still says, and this is how he looks at it, he's thinking long term. That this is a big project, as far as why he didn't load up on offense just for a quick fix of the offense to support Fields. But the other thing, with that said, I still think, and Jason, I'd be curious to hear what you think about that. I still think that means that if Fields isn't good enough, he'll move on after this year. It's not like I've kind of surmised that maybe this is a 2-year project to him. So maybe how Fields does with this lesser supporting cast doesn't matter to him because he knows he's going to have a better supporting cast next year. But I don't know, something tells me that he still won't be afraid that if Fields takes a step back and is not the guy, he won't be afraid, even against that charge of you set him up to fail, to make a move in the offseason.
Mark, on that point, like, I don't think Ryan Poles could afford to wait it out on Justin Fields if he doesn't have clear evidence, absolute confidence after the season that he's their guy. Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus both talk about the Bears like they're going to be in charge for the next 10 years. And this is a big long-term project. That is great in theory, and you could make a case that that is how you should run an NFL team, but that isn't how things typically go here. So if Justin Fields doesn't give you your answer, and you've got a top 10 draft pick this year, you can't just sit and keep. You can't miss that opportunity.
I'm sure as hell not going to promise in October that I'm not going to draft a quarterback, regardless of how this.
But what do you think, Pat? Like on Truth Serum, is it this year, or are they going to like? Does Fields? Yes or no? Fields has to prove by the end of this year that he is their franchise quarterback.
Yes, absolutely.
I think so too.
I think in a perfect world, I think the Bears would like him to prove it. And then I think they could go get him his Justin Jefferson or his Jamar Chase or, you know, his high draft pick partner.
Well, this is always the case. I mean, the best solution is one you already have.
Right.
And then you can go take care of other problems.
Yeah, but I don't think they know enough yet to sit there and definitively say it. And I also...
I don't either. No. I'm with them if that's their position.
And I think he would have to be a pretty outstanding player by this point for them to make any promises this early in the season. Guys, look at Mac Jones. Mac Jones went to the Pro Bowl last year. Today he got benched for a fourth-round pick from Western Kentucky. These things turn quickly.
Almost by demand.
You would have said a week ago Mac Jones has been the most successful of that draft class, of the five first-round quarterbacks.
Absolutely, yeah. And it took the crowd here 2 minutes to start chanting the other guy's name. 2 minutes. These things turn. And you cannot sit there with 10 games left and be definitive about what you will, and more specifically, what you will not do because you just don't know. And
I think that's why these next two games, I'm really curious to see these next two games, because you can go from being the beneficiary of NFL mediocrity to the victim of it in a short time. And that's not mocking the Bears or denigrating what the Bears did, but that's just the fact of the matter of the NFL today.
They go to Dallas and then they host Miami.
Right. So I think a game on a day short rest, I guess that's still considered short, not like a Thursday night game, but you know that this game and the next upcoming, I think are going to be huge. As I've always said, nothing's defining in a rebuilding year. I think these next 2 weeks are as close as it is to confirm or not whether what we saw here tonight was real.
Yeah, although I'll refer you to Sunday Night Football, on Sunday last night. Dolphins didn't look like world beaters to me.
No.
I mean,
it can go one way, then the other. It's a crazy league.
Yeah, I think there are four good teams. I really do. Potsy, do you have your game balls ready?
I do, and they're pretty simple.
Hold on. Get them out of the burlap sack.
When we started this, Potsy was marveling at the... I'm buying you time here. Let me make sure you're ready.
I'm ready to dig into the bag of game balls.
He was taking a picture of how like foggy it is here. The rain's been coming down kind of misty the whole game. And with the lights on, there could be an actual bear in the seats and we wouldn't know.
No, it's very it's spooky.
Potsy, game balls.
Okay.
Who gets it on offense?
First of all, I want to recognize one thing. It's not a player, but I think Luke Getsy had the best night of anybody.
Well, he can get a game ball. Coaches get game balls sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. You're good point. I'm going to give my game ball. Rules. I think this was Luke Getsy. I think of all the coaches, because I know in the grades, I gave obviously this was a big night for Matt Eberflus. I thought this was obviously his best moment as the Bears coach. But the coach who had the best night, I thought, was Luke Getsy. A really good game plan. Did something that people have been clamoring for with the design runs for Justin Fields, and they worked. And like I said, kind of outfoxed a really good coach. And who has a really good defense. And
you mispronounced the greatest of all coaches, not just a really good coach, the greatest coach ever.
Yeah, the probably. Greatest coach ever, who's 74-82 without Tom Brady. But those are just facts.
That's great. Okay, so Luke Getsy, is this game ball number four? Or
no, this will be the game ball
in lieu of offense, in lieu of Justin Fields.
Yeah, you can't really give four. If Jason said I can give, it would have been Fields, but
Potsy, this isn't like regulated by the government. This is just something you do every week.
This you can.
I know, but that kind of diminishes
it. Game balls if you want.
This is you.
The only thing we don't want you to do is just drag this out and make it boring by not.
Well, I'm really bad at being succinct, so that you're asking the wrong guy. So. But I would give a mini game ball. You know, like those ones you get at like Disney World. You ever see those little footballs?
You buy it for your kid.
I would give that one. Will go to Justin Fields because he threw for 179 yards. He rushed for 82. He did as much right against a good defense as you could. I think I noted that this was the most points scored by the Bears against a top 10 scoring defense since 2010 against the Jets. So for his efficiency, I'd give Justin Fields one of those little game balls from Disney World.
Okay, congratulations to Luke Getsy and Justin Fields and their respective families. Who do you have on defense?
On defense, I got to go with Jaquan Brisker. I thought what he did was it came at an early point of the game, and I think it was key. And just the fact that I think he's been the one rookie who has been as good as advertised from the start. You know, we thought that he would be, I think a lot of people thought that he would be the one to make the biggest impact, and I think he has.
We knew from the first preseason game, didn't we, Potsy?
It made sense because whereas Kyler Gordon can get burned, he's on an island, literally, not literally, but figuratively, he's on an island, he's going to get burned. When he makes a mistake, it's going to look bad. So, and sure enough, that did happen. But Brisker, especially in this defense, had a little bit more latitude, and sure enough, he has been good. So, Jaquan Brisker for that really, that just great interception at a key point in the game. He gets the game ball.
He's been a fantastic fit with Eddie Jackson, too, by the way. And, Pat, you saw Ryan Pohl's face lit up talking about Eddie Jackson today. Eddie Jackson would have been a guy, if you'd asked me in the offseason, I would have said he might not even be here for this season,
right,
let alone a legitimate part of their future. Right. And now I'm thinking that Brisker and Jackson together makes a lot of sense for them going forward.
Yeah, I think it does. He certainly He, you know, and like you said, it, you know, even Poles said today, I didn't know whether he was going to be physical enough, more or less. And he, I think he is physical. I think he is playing with energy. And he's one of the leaders on this defense that's actually pretty good. Pretty good defense at this point. Potsy, special teams?
Special teams, I'm going with place kicker Cairo Santos, who is 4-for-4, kicked from 42, 23, 38, and just nailed a 50-yarder like it was nothing.
Right.
And and one thing about those, you know, you said they settled for field goals. I think it's a difference when you settle for field goals kind of with the wind at your back than you do when you're chasing. Sure. You know, when you need seven and you get three, that's, you know, that's a little bit more of a psychological disadvantage, I think. And I think these field goals, not that you want to settle for them, but I think they were more, like I said, with the wind at your back and just, you know, not as harmful to your momentum. So he is now 11 for 11. The Bears are 15 for 15. They are at 92.5% since the middle of Eddie Pinheiro's season in 2019, and they are just shy of 90% since the playoff game in 2018 season. So the turnaround the Bears have had at field goal kicking is nothing short of amazing for anybody who knows what they went through in that 2018, or even since Robbie Gold was gone
one of the handful of misses Cairo Santos has was like a 60-yarder at the end of a Monday night game against the Steelers. Like that they had no business even trying.
Didn't that end his streak? So anyway, yeah, Cairo Santos just. You know, he's really become, and I guess he was, even before the Bears, a capable, obviously a capable kicker, but I think clearly as good as he's ever been in the NFL.
And to do so in the aforementioned mist and rain is all that much more impressive. Guys, we will be back again later in the week to preview the game against Big D. But until then, everybody can follow us on Twitter. Check us out on the SunTimes website, which you don't need to pay for anymore. Just sign up and you can get all of the Bears and sports and news that you want. And if you like the show, please rate and review it. If you don't like the show, please do not rate or review it.
Well, this should be a popular show, Pat. Are you kidding?
For Jason Leisure and Mark Potash, I'm Patrick Finley. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.